A week of commissioning and fire disasters rolled into a fierce Jollof Derby in Kumasi and ended up with big political movements as the ruling party finally organized the convention many months after it planned to do so. What's the fate of the Eko Bridge? What's the fate of the traders? How does the APC convention concern and affect you, the listener? And will the Super Eagles be at the 2022 World Cup? Well, we'll try and find answers to some of these questions, which is my cue to welcome you to another edition of The Newsroom, a program brought to you by the Nigeria Info Newsroom, where we try to analyze some of the big stories from the previous week. My name is Ufumeke Bamuno, and today on the show, well, the Shaku Maku master is not here. He's decided to go and eat owo soup and banga at home. And I've got Yvonne Ohaifo as his replacement. Yvonne, a very good evening to you. How are you doing?
Shaku Maku.
Really?
Well, I'm deputizing for Agogo, so
really?
Yes.
Really? I thought I wasn't going to hear Shaku Maku this evening.
Ah, you're supposed to say Makushi. Ah.
y'all should give me a break. Really, y'all should give me a break. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. It's 19 minutes gone past the hour of 6 o'clock. We do not have so much time on the show, so we will just get into the thick of the action. Remember, you can watch us live. We're streaming on Facebook and I think YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 993. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. You could go check us out. On the show today, we'll be talking about the fire disaster, the Akpombo area of the Eko Bridge. We'll talk about the APC convention. We'll also talk about the declaration by River State Governor Yesom Wike yesterday. And of course, the raging conversation that has to do with zoning or no zoning. And definitely we'll talk about the big one tomorrow between Nigeria's Super Eagles and the Black Stars of Ghana. We'll have two guests joining us on the show. Trying to get confirmation if our guests have already joined in. But let's start with the first topic of our discussion this evening, which got to do with the fire incident last week. Well, we all woke up on Monday morning. Matter of fact, I was on duty that morning. We're just finished reading the 6 a.m. news that morning when my colleague Algo sent a message to our newsroom WhatsApp group telling us about the fire incident. And of course, as we always do, right here on Nigeria Info, wherever the big news is happening, we are right there to cover it. Our reporter, Emmanuel Onwuka, who's right here in the studio, you get to see him in a bit, you know, was dispatched to the scene. And to a large extent, it wasn't a sight to behold. Emmanuel Onwuka, a very good evening to you. Welcome once again to the newsroom. Say that again.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sorry, I didn't put on your mic. First things first, that fire took about 3 days or thereabout to actually put off. Why did it take so long?
Okay, so the first things first, I think it was as a result of the kind of causal stables. Though we're still waiting for the investigation from the fire service. But to a large extent, from what I could see on ground, what I could tell there, it was all about the combustible, the type of combustibles. So normally we have fire, you know, in markets, you know, it's all about goods, you know, getting burnt. But then this very one, we were looking at baking materials. So we had ethanol, we had flour, we had some other baking ingredients, you know, that are very, very high combustibles. And that was the reason why it was that much. Yeah.
Emmanuel, what was the first emotion that greeted you when you got to the scene?
Oh, so first of all, I couldn't use my phone when I got there or immediately because of the kind of you know, the kind of mood in which I met the people. There was a lady, I remember her very clearly, when I went to a mosque that was by the side of the bridge. You know, she was trying, they were trying to salvage things from our shop. You know, people were there trying to salvage things from our shop. Our shop was on fire and people were there trying to help her salvage things from our shop, and she couldn't do anything. You know, she just had a hand around her chest and she was crying, like she was weeping bitterly, but there was no sound. She was just there standing, crying. People were, you know, going over themselves, falling over themselves to help her get things out of the shop. But she wasn't doing anything. She was just there crying.
She was in
shock. It tells you, you know, how much, you know, trauma she was in and how much shock she was in seeing her millions of naira, you know, being burnt right in front of her. Yeah, so that was the mood. And, you know, she was not just the only person. There were a lot more persons, you know, in the market that were facing that same scenario that morning. They had to enlist, some persons had to enlist the help, or their colleagues had to tell some of the boys around to help them salvage what they can from the fire. So it was a very emotional situation there. People were all up in their feelings.
Well, Lagos, Nigeria, we stayed on the story all through the week until today. Another correspondent of ours, Onora Aniwobo, joins us. You were the site today.
Yeah, I was.
Tell us what you saw.
It took some time because it was a waiting game from the onset. We were waiting for the governor from 9 o'clock that we were billed to be there till around 12. But the issue is that when he came, initially, the bike riders and revenue collectors were having a brisk day. They were actually collecting money and then having a fast one doing their trade.
Collecting money from persons who were passing that road?
No. From bike riders.
Okay.
Because it's a revenue opportunity for them. And they were the only people visible there.
When in the real sense of the word, bikes were not supposed to ply in that route.
Yeah. They were in their numbers. So I saw the scenario and we waited. It was waiting game. The CP came with it and then saw some buses parked by the two side of the bridge, by the foot of the bridge. So he was visibly angry. And ordered that they should be removed.
That's the Commissioner of Police?
The Commissioner of Police, okay. Abiodun Alabi, he actually ordered that they should be removed, and they were removed because immediately the police came, the DSS, all the security apparatus, they were there. That was when we now noticed that the closed order was actually obeyed. So the governor came in around 2:00 and then went around, inspected the whole business. But before then, markets... the traders were actually carrying placards with different inscriptions. Someone saying, we are not criminals, we are contributing to the economy of the nation, we need to be taken care of, we are homeless, we are going to be homeless if this 7-day order is being obeyed. So when the governor came, he saw it, and then instead of actually seeing or behaving as if he's insensitive, he actually showed some level from the body demeanor. I think he actually showed that the order needs to be obeyed, and he said, you people must leave, but we'll have a meeting and then relocate you to a suitable place. That suitable place is what I don't know. But another action is that on the two sides of the road now will be used from the Ebuteore end and the other side. One will be going for inbound, then the other one for exit. That is what I saw today. And he went to Obalende.
What happened at Obalende? That's the governor.
The governor. Yes. The governor with the entourage went to Obalende. But before then, the commissioner has left and some other. So he went to Obalende. Obalende there.
No, before we go to Obalende, okay. What time did the governor get to the scene?
It was 2:00.
When was he supposed to be there?
From the manifest that I actually was 9.
Interesting.
Yeah, it shows how...
Well, you could also legislate for the governor. Matters of the state, lots of things may have happened. You know, but let's also look at, the road itself, the damage or not that may have been caused on that road. How you know, between the two of you, since Wednesday last week till now, I think you guys have actually been there 3-4 times. What does it look like? What's the damage like?
It's enormous. It's enormous. And this bridge has been built since 1975 by Julius Berda. From the governor's discussion today, they will still need Julius Berda. Let me quote his word. Thank God Julius Berda is still around. But after consultation with the Ministry of Works, which from his own side, they are going to come to Lagos State or visit the state and then see, because they are the owner of the property.
Okay.
They will come and then they will now sit and discuss and then know how they're going to fix the road after the visibility study and all the engineering works being done. But the damage there is enormous.
So I joined the official from the ministry, you know, Ministry of Works, while they were inspecting the bridge.
That was today?
No.
Last week. Okay.
Yes. So one thing I could tell on that very day when the fire incident was up was that we had little explosions, you know, coming out when the fire was ongoing.
Little explosions from where?
From beneath the bridge.
Okay.
No, if you look at the videos I sent and that they're being posted online right now, you see that there's a bulge.
Yes.
At a point of the beach.
Yep.
That place was raised up by the explosions that, you know, occurred during the fire. And it was even the firefighters that even made sure that that explosion was contained. And it was not as explosive as, you know, it had probably intended. You know, the next morning when I visited, I saw heavy-duty trucks, which we reported. And then later the road was closed due to our report. But why the heavy-duty trucks were climbing the bridge and making use of the bridge, we had vibrations. Like, you could feel the bridge vibrate.
Wow. The vibration is still on,
okay,
but not at the point of, because they've closed
that point.
Barricade that point.
Right, because
but on top of that bridge, you can still feel the vibration.
Yes, on my way to work this morning, I saw the diversion. There was actually a traffic diversion. Yes, a lot of security personnel were present on the scene. The passengers were like, what's going on there? Why are there uniformed men everywhere? You know, it was quite the sight.
So one thing I noticed that day was that the tar on the bridge, the tar that was used to hold the whole bridge together. You know,
right,
there are some places in the bridge where that tar began melting on that same day because of the heat of the fire. So it was that bad.
A very, very disastrous event that took place yesterday in the early hours of last week, Wednesday. The fire disaster. Well, we will move on that topic and move on to the next topic of discussion today. And that is about the convention. Finally, after almost 2 years of dilly-dallying, the APC concluded or did its national convention. Well, Yobe State Governor Mai Balabuni no longer runs the affairs of the APC. And former Nasarawa Governor, who's presently a senator, Abdullahi Adamu, is the new chairman. Well, you know all of that drama that happened in the build-up to this convention, court cases or no court cases, you know, somebody taking over or no... Not taking over. The president's letter. You know, there was so much drama. But thank goodness for the APC. The bottom line now is that Abdullahi Adamu is the chairman. And joining us from Abuja is our Nigeria Info correspondent, Abayomi Akingola. He's joining us on the show this evening. Abayomi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Abayomi was at the Eagle Square on Saturday, and I think till the early hours of Sunday. It was a marathon. Abayomi, can you give us, in a nutshell, what it was like covering the event that had thousands of people in attendance?
Well, good evening once again. What it is, covering such convention is you being careful and being watchful, because unlike the other national conventions that I've covered in this part of the world, Saturday's convention was, they could not control the crowd. That's just the basic truth. Because despite the fact that it was only delegates, you know, that were expected at the convention grounds, here you will see, you know, the presence of all the supporters. In fact, it was just like the campaign ground to be absolute, because, you know, people were just, they have started campaigning for their, you know, different, you know, aspirants ahead of the 2023 general election. So the atmosphere there was just, you know, from Friday night all through till Sunday, because they were actually inaugurated yesterday. Sunday, you could see people, you know, running around with different posters, you know, calling for the candidacy of
different persons they are supporting.
Yes, ahead of the 2023 general election. So if you ask me, it was a campaign grant and not a convention grant.
Okay, Abayomi, just before we let you go, there were a couple of persons, you know, who were not particularly pleased with some of the actions or the consensus that the party decided to go with for a majority of the positions that were vied for. Of course, some of these persons actually, you know, went on stage and voiced their opinions. But at the end of the day, like the politicians will say, the minority will have their say, the majority would have their way. What was the atmosphere like after all was said and done, and you know, everybody had already known who was going to be part of that national working committee?
Before the convention, prior to the convention, you know, we had communication with many of the citizens of the party, and since the, you know, alleged endorsement of Senator Abdoulaye Adamu as the favored candidate of the president, the body language has not been good. Majority of the party, even the governors, majority of them are not happy with this decision. Like on Friday, when we finally got the news that aspirants for the position of the national chairman have, you know, decided to step down for Abdoulaye Adamu, I called one of the aspirants immediately, and he said something. He said it was like they were being blackmailed. That was his language. They were being blackmailed to step down for, you know, Abdoulaye Adamu. But as you know, in politics, it's always a game of, you know, number. And apart from that, it's always about interest.
Okay.
So whatever does not favor you in politics, for you, it is wrong.
Okay.
So you understand. But to be candid, most of the party members and even citizens are not happy with the entire exercise. And that's why for us as journalists, we believe it's the beginning of another disaster in the ruling party.
All right. Thank you very much, Akinbola. We appreciate your thoughts on the newsroom this evening. All right, joining us on the show right now is, of course, political analyst and constitutional lawyer Liberos Oshoma. A very good evening to you, Liberos. Can you hear me?
I'm not sure Liberos can hear.
Hello, good evening. Okay, it does look like we are having issues connecting with Liberos. We'll try and get that connection particularly well. But Yvonne, let me come to you on this one. Now, we did see as part of the persons, you know, who won elections, or you could say affirmations,
right,
was a 36-year-old Beta Edu from Cross River State, emerging as the national women leader of the APC. She's the youngest female to actually hold that position. How great is that, especially on a month where we celebrate women?
Well, as you said, it's Women's History Month, you know. And apart from that, women have been clamoring for more affirmative action, you know, more seats at the table in the National Assembly. So this is, you know, it's sort of like a nod in that direction. And apart from that, it is also the theme for the International Women's Day that we celebrated some weeks ago, was break the bias. You know, so I mean, a young woman holding this position is breaking the bias, and that is a great win, I dare say.
Okay, a great win. Well, you could argue that even though some persons like Abayomi did mention, if you were listening to him very well, he did mention the fact that some persons are not so comfortable with all of the arrangements. But we'll try and wait and see how that will pan out, even as we wait for our guests to actually join in the show. Also, we're supposed to be joined in by an APC member, one lady who actually contested as part of the APC National Youth Leader position. Well, she did tell me, I'm talking Rinsola Biola, she did tell me that she might be on board coming from Abuja to Lagos. So there's a possibility, you know, we might not be able to get to her. But while we wait to actually get Liberos Oshoma to join us on the show, maybe it's time for us to get your thoughts and your reactions about the two issues we have talked about on the show today. We have talked about the fire incident from last week, and of course our reporters here, Emmanuel and Onwara, are giving us exactly what happened between last week and today, where the governor actually visited the scene. And of course we've talked about the APC convention, and more or less we'll probably look at some of the big winners or the losers, you know, and all of that conversation. The question now, Yvonne, before we get into that, who do you think are the big winners and the big losers from the APC convention?
Well, I would say Adamu, who is now the national who is now the national chairman of the committee. I mean, big, and of course, Beta Edu, whom we just spoke about. Well, let's also not forget that Rotimi Amaechi, even though he has not to. He has not said anything yet, but
why did you have to mention? The man was asked, "Have you? Do you intend to contest?" He said, "Well,
he hasn't.
I haven't told my wife. I haven't told my children."
I think that was the highlight.
But he did.
That was the highlight. That interview was the highlight of the whole convention. I don't understand how somebody will keep going round and round in circles.
Right.
Just one question.
But that shows a politician that he is.
Yes.
He just told you, "I need to do consultation. I must consult my wife."
Okay.
Consult all those that need to be consulted.
By this time.
My children.
Yes. By this time.
And get approval.
There's time for everything.
But let's look at this.
It should have been done already before the convention.
Well, you could also argue that even if you think he's one of the big winners, some have suggested that he, you know, was the mastermind behind the present APC chairman.
Exactly.
Whether that is true or not, we do not know. Some have also suggested that the main battle now in the APC, Onora, is between himself, even though he's yet to officially declare. What's his name? The former governor of Lagos State, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, who has officially declared. Right. And then the vice president, who's been rumored to also be eyeing the seat.
That's why I say this is politics. We are just on the issue of permutation now.
Yeah.
The vice president have not actually declared, but people are saying, "Come and be our president."
Okay, and then
Amaechi on your side said, "I need to consult." So you can see how politics.
Yeah.
Okay, so
everybody's trying to keep their own.
Yes. We've been having a bit of technical issues with our Zoom link. So we are being joined right now via the phone by our constitutional lawyer and political analyst, Liboros Oshoma. A very good evening to you, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good evening.
Okay, apologies for that little bit of confusion. But we're talking about the APC convention from last week. And quickly would like to ask you, who do you think were the big winners and big losers, if there are any, from the aftermath of the convention?
From what we saw at the convention, there are no winners and there are no losers. What you have is just that democracy is being mocked by our Democrats. So it's unfortunate that to see what politicians call a convention, for me, it's all of a jamboree. And the earlier the rest of us understand the importance of participating in politics, the better for the country. Otherwise, you continue to have these jamborees all in the name of convention. If you like, call it consensus or people withdraw at gunpoint. So whatever you want to call it.
Is that what it is? Withdraw at gunpoint?
Yes. A situation where you see a man almost shedding tears that he will not withdraw. He has spent so much. And at the end of the year, he's still announcing his withdrawal from his race, from the race. You should definitely know that there is more to it. Something is there. It's like somebody who's heard at gunpoint saying, you see, I relinquished my position. But you're not seeing, the hands behind, but you just hear his voice. And that's why I said there are no winners and there are no losers, because all of them, even everybody that is, a lot of them that, actually arguing for positions, are all party. They know APC has never pretended, you know, to be Democrats, quote and unquote. So they know what they were coming to do. And that's why I said democracy actually is the loser in all of this. But give it to them. But give it to them. They were able to do whatever they did to compel some people to step down. And at the end of the day, whatever it is, they came out with a list. Some people had expected that they would not even come out alive, you know, from that convention because it's been postponed, you know. So they just, you know, put some horribly put, you know, ingredients together and then came out with a list. And if you don't like it,
you're on your own.
You're on your own. Okay. If they had allowed voting, for example, and there are complaints, the period for appeal, the period for reconciliation, they would have been well out of INEC timetable. So that would have affected, you know, the fortune of the party. And that would have, it would have, you know, seen at the end of APC. And so they had to do what they had to do, considering the Nigerian political reality. PDP is actually not different, just that they had their, you know, earlier. And we also saw the bickering happening, and then what's going on in China.
We will come to the PDP in a bit. So
I'm just telling you that, so that it doesn't look as if...
You're on one side. I totally get you. But quickly, let me ask you, if you can answer this in less than a minute or thereabout. Some are suggesting that the next phase of the APC, which is the presidential primaries, is going to be between Bola Ahmed Tinubu, who has officially declared, the Vice President Oshibajo, who is rumored to be looking at the ticket, and the Minister of Transport, Rotimi Amaechi. How do you see this playing out?
In 2007, Dr. Peter Odili crisscrossed the length and breadth of Nigeria. And a lot of people felt, oh, look, it's going to be... We narrowed it down to Peter Odili, Donald Duke, and then, you know, and some other persons in Sanibu also, and some other persons in the PDP, Abubakar Rimi. But at the end of the day, the people we didn't expect, somebody who was, who barely, you know, governed his state from... you know, in and out of sickbed, God rest his soul, Donatan and Yaradua.
Yeah.
You know, shown from nowhere. And then Jonathan was picked as his running mate. And that ended all of those plenty speculations and talk. So, just the same way, due up to the APC primaries, we saw, APC convention, we had different names. At the end of the day, they shocked us with their list. So, all the story of Rotimi Amaechi, Vice President Oshibajo there, Tinubu here and there, and all of those things. Let's look at those who are not expected, and for they shall not be disappointed. I've watched political events play out in Nigeria for too long to think that. Once a man can travel around Nigeria, that means it's a guru for him. We are not practicing democracy. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take our Lagos for example. In 2007, we had 11 aspirants, top contenders, top notch as governors in Lagos. All of a sudden, somebody who was not even in the record, Babatunde Raju Fashola, just came from nowhere and became the candidate and clinched the ticket. So, out of the ranks that have been crisscrossing, what became of them? They got angry, they left the party, eventually they came back again. So, just don't be surprised tomorrow if you hear names that you've never heard before just emerge as consensus, but imposed.
Okay. All right, that will be our cue to actually move on to our third topic for today. Liberals, stay with us because we want to talk about the governor of Rivers State and zoning in the PDP.
That's right, Ufuoma. One of the worst kept secrets is finally out in the open. Rivers Governor Nyesom Wike has finally declared his intention to run for the highest office in the land.
It was quite a hilarious declaration, I have to say. He said a lot of things. Time not on our side, so we'll not play that sound. But here's the big issue that the PDP are trying to navigate, the issue of zoning liberals. I saw an ad on TV today. I was extensively prepared, you know, showcasing why the PDP should not zone, you know, the presidential primary tickets to the South. However, the truth of the matter is that either side of the divide have got valid reasons to make their case. For the persons who say, well, we can't zone it to the South because the South have ruled about 14 years in the PDP, while the North have only ruled just 2 years. And then the other side of the other school of thought says, well, we would have just about 8 years of a Northern president, and you can't vote another Northern president after 2023. Valid reasons from both sides of the divide. Liberals, how do you think the PDP will navigate this thorny issue?
Yeah, first and foremost, to be fair to the APC, let's start from the APC, so that because it is the same, they are in reckoning who rules. The 8 years of Muhammadu Buhari also will be, used there to calculate the question. And to be fair to the APC, it wasn't zoning that brought them on board. It was the governance of Jonathan and his team that actually threw up the likes of Buhari, and because of that time, APC had no other person who was that popular, you know, up north, who could have that effect and wrestle power from Abinkunle. So that was what led to the emergence of Muhammad Buhari. And then that said, if we are to be fair in PDP, really, the zone that had consistently come what may given PDP their support is the Southeast. And I think it will be time to compensate the Southeast for their loyalty. The PDP should compensate the Southeast, because right from 1999, the Southeast has consistently maintained loyalty to PDP. In the last election, despite the hatred for Jonathan, the Southeast and the South-South maintained their support and loyalty to him. So if PDP will be fair, they truly be that of fairness, which I doubt, it is the time for them to compare to the Southeast. But that said, we know that even some of the governors in the Southeast, because of selfish reasons, because of their personal gain, would prefer to even take vice president to and meet a candidate that would win election. And like I said, election is not just about all about compensation. It's also about candidates that will win, that is sellable, you know, that is sellable. How well are these candidates also fair is another thing.
Okay.
As for Inyet or Wike, I agree with you. That's what we call declaration for me. I don't see that declaration. It's more of a comic relief. Wike is like a fool in a China shop. You don't destroy your own house because you don't like certain person. Because by the end of the day, you get the ticket, you still need these people to move on.
Yeah.
And if you don't get the ticket, you would have given your opposition enough materials to use their gift to your party. You know, and then these are people, this is man who would want to discipline people for speaking against the party, but consistently at every turn, you see him, you know, talk as if he's not a member of the party, criticize almost everybody that does not agree with him, and then behave like, what do you call it, Kabaka in Edo State. So, people like me, so which I don't think they can actually, you know, build a party. The moment he's out of government in River State, I doubt he can command any respect. Even people that are hanging around him now
would leave.
Probably because of what he would give.
Okay.
That said, now is the time for PDP to actually, if they would, you know, wrestle power from incumbent. It is not the time for them to be bickering. It is time to actually sit down and put their house in order. And by putting their house in order, look for a sellable candidate, not this same old war horse.
Okay.
That we already know their story.
Liberals, we would have to leave it at that. Thank you very much. Time not so on our side, but we have more time to talk about this particular issue in our subsequent programs.
That's right.
All right. Thank you very much. Quickly, Yvonne, let's talk about the final issue.
Yes. To win or not to win? That is the question that will be answered tomorrow when... during the Jollof Derby between Nigeria and Ghana comes up at 6 p.m. tomorrow at the MKO Abiola Stadium in Abuja. The Super Eagles are favored to win the game, and that's according to striker Odion Ighalo. But the Federal Ministry of Youth and Sports Development and the Nigeria Football Federation have jointly purchased 20,000 tickets to give to fans who wish to support the Eagles tomorrow.
Well, it's all part of our plans to ensure that Nigeria gets that ticket, because if we do get the ticket and qualify for the World Cup, it will do a whole lot of good. Economic-wise, you know, a lot of brands will be associated, you know, with the coverage of the World Cup because Nigeria is there. If Nigeria is not there, a lot of Nigerians will not have, you know, the... will not really be interested in watching. But if the Super Eagles are playing at the World Cup, even people that don't like football will want to watch. Right. You know, I'm sure Yvonne will want to watch because Super Eagles are playing.
Well, I watched the match last Friday.
Exactly. You know, aside that also, the Nigerian Football Federation as a body needs that qualification. Else, if they don't, trust me, lots of daggers will be out. But hopefully, Femi and the gang will be in the building from the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow to actually give you all the coverage of that game.
I have one short question for
quickly.
You.
Quickly.
What happened in Kumasi? Because, I mean, I hear the Super Eagles were not treated well.
If the Nigerian Football Federation treats the Black Stars well, now that they are around, I think they're coming today or tomorrow, or they're around
already. They're already in town.
If they treat them well, I'm going to be very angry because they did not treat us well. They really did not treat us well in Kumasi. But hey, that's how much we're going to have on the show. Time not so on our side, people. We'll do this again next time. 6:15 on Monday next week. Until then, have yourselves a wonderful evening. The Newsroom was packaged by the Newsroom of Nigeria Info FM.
Good night.